Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Doubting Thomas. St. Thomas is famous throughout the whole world because of this one event. But to speak truly, he's famous throughout the whole world because he's just like us. He was no different from the other disciples, and those other disciples, likewise, are really no different from us. But when we see the loving treatment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are encouraged. For Jesus was sent by the Father to make God known to us, and although we never saw Jesus, he sent his apostles to make God's peace known to us also. Well, on Easter evening, the disciples who had scattered when Jesus was arrested have gathered back together. And as we read, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. So the disciples are all locked up. Peter and John had seen the empty tomb. Mary Magdalene had seen the risen Lord, but there were the disciples, all locked up for fear of the Jews. Perhaps they were even more afraid because of the reports of the empty tomb. You see, the Jews had set a guard around the tomb so that no resurrection could be faked. So, if Lazarus being raised from the dead had sent Jesus to die, how much more would the Jews do to the disciples after Jesus was raised from the dead? But the fear of the Jews must have left the mind of the disciples when Jesus appeared. The room was locked, but there he was. What would he think of them all huddled up inside for fear? What would he think of them for having scattered when he was betrayed? Well, when a dead man comes into your locked room some evening, then I suspect you'll understand how they felt. To add to their problems, St. Mark tells us that Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief, for refusing to believe Mary Magdalene. Why did they refuse to believe Mary Magdalene and the others? But rebuke was not the last word that Jesus brought. He said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. "Peace be with you" demonstrates that the purpose that Jesus had here was not to scold them, but rather to bring them back, to show them his love. And then the most dramatic point is when he shows them his hands and his side. He shows them his wounds, the most extravagant display of his love possible, the love that drove him to the cross for their sins. It was only after showing them his wounds that they were glad to see the Lord, for they knew that he had not come to condemn them, but to save them. But he didn't come only to save the disciples. He came so that the whole world might not perish. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." The Father sent Jesus into the world so that men might know God. 40 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus says that he was sent by the Father. Here's the idea. We have never seen the Almighty and Eternal God in his glory. But we have seen, we being mankind has seen God in the flesh. Do you want to know what God is like? Do you want to know God? Well, then you look at Jesus, who came in the flesh as a man, like you. And this is the moment in which God shows who he really is. Jesus bringing peace to his disciples and showing his wounds that he gained on the cross. And so as the Father sent Jesus to make God known to mankind, Jesus sends the apostles out to bring peace through the forgiveness of sins and showing Jesus' wounds to other people through the preaching of the cross. But there was one little problem. Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." So Thomas had heard Mary Magdalene say, "I have seen Jesus." And now he's seen the other 10 disciples say, "We have seen Jesus." But he must see for himself. But imagine what it's like for him. His closest friends have all seen Jesus. Why wouldn't Jesus want to come to Thomas also? Why should he alone have to rely on the reports of others? So Thomas is adamant that he will never believe unless Jesus comes to him personally. Well, of course, we might think that Jesus would come offended. But instead, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." This is a virtual repeat of what happened on Easter evening. Jesus comes bearing peace. With a gentle rebuke, he brings peace to Thomas also. And just as Thomas had demanded, he allows Thomas even to touch those wounds. So Thomas sees the Lord, and he touches the Lord. So Thomas is also sent out as an eyewitness to the resurrection. Each of the 11 saw Jesus, and God chose them to be his witnesses of this resurrection. As you can see from this text, it had nothing to do with their particularly strong faith. It had nothing to do with their particularly strong holy character. It was all because Jesus wanted to send them out, just as the Father had sent Jesus. It was because Jesus wanted them to bring the good news of his victory over death. And in fact, to bring Jesus himself to the nations. God sent Jesus to the nations so that we might know God and see God. And again, Jesus sends the apostles out to bring himself to the nations so that we all might know him. There's a hymn that we sing sometimes. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Have you ever thought about what the answer to that question is? The answer is no, you weren't there. You didn't see his love displayed on the cross. You didn't see the victory that he won. You didn't see that he was raised. You weren't there. So then how can I believe? When they say seeing is believing, how can I believe when I wasn't there and I didn't see? This is expressed in Jesus' last words in the text. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We haven't seen, and yet we're all here because we believe. We have not seen, we have not touched. So therefore, we believe just as Jesus had it intended for us to believe. He sent his apostles to bring himself to the nations, and the primary method that he brings himself with is the Bible. Notice how John writes right after this that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. John could have written lots of interesting stuff about all the things that the apostles had seen. But that wasn't the point. The point of the scripture, the point of this gospel, is to bring Jesus to you so that you might believe. You haven't seen and you haven't touched, but you have heard. You've heard the gospel because John, one of these apostles who was sent, wrote down what it is that you need to believe. He was sent for this very task, to bring faith to you through the Word of God. And Jesus showed what kind of Word of God that is in this text. He brought peace to these fearful disciples. He sent them to bring peace to you. He breathed his Holy Spirit on them and gave them the power to forgive and to retain sins. The point of that is that in the stead and by the command of their Lord Jesus Christ, they will forgive and withhold forgiveness just as Jesus would if he were standing here also. They forgive the repentant sinner and they withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant. And God continues to call men into this apostolic office. No pastor today has seen Jesus. But they all, at least all the faithful ones, teach according to the word of the apostles who had seen Jesus. As God calls them to forgive sins and to withhold forgiveness, we hear the voice of God. It is as valid in heaven as it is on earth. Jesus said the word of the apostles is as certain as his word. Why is it as certain? Because Jesus himself sent them. He sent them to say peace to the fearful, to tell of his wounds that had won the salvation of their souls. So if you're like Thomas, and you're waiting to see Jesus personally, you'll either die waiting, or you'll get to see Jesus on the judgment throne. You need Jesus Christ to rebuke you because you've heard his eyewitnesses. Jesus Christ has come to you through the apostles and his called ministers. Unbelief is not the sign of an open mind, but of a closed heart. You won't ever get the opportunity that Thomas had to see the Lord. But Jesus has not left you high and dry. For when you hear pastors say, I forgive you all your sins, you hear the voice of God. And when you hear pastors say, the peace of the Lord be with you always, right before you receive the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament, you hear the voice of God. And when you read the scriptures that were written by these apostles who were sent, these eyewitnesses who were sent out by Jesus, you hear the voice of God. Do not disbelieve, but believe. So it is that Jesus has come into the locked room of our hearts. He has come by his word without our invitation. And we may be frightened as his word illuminates the unbelief of our hearts, the sin within us. But Jesus speaks peace to us as he spoke peace to the apostles and as he shows us the wounds that he suffered on the cross. And that's why he sent the preachers. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For us, the eye is not the organ of faith, but the ear. We've believed because we've heard the voice of God. Let's conclude with the words of St. Peter in the epistle lesson. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus.